Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast. This is a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam.
Sean, I guess. I thought John was going to go next, but
John
and John
and John. John joins us via Skype. Again, he cannot make it down to the wonderful town that we are residing in right now. But anyway, we got a few things that we want to talk about today. This is the week of Who Gives a Shit. It's the week before July 4th, the holiday weekend. And because, well, it's a podcast, we'll talk about weather. It's nice weather out right now. So, but anyway,
it's a little muggy in here, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a little steamy.
Yeah, it could be nice.
It's a little muggy in there, though.
It's a little steamy.
A little.
Yeah. But anyway,
I gotta get the AC out here soon. So,
like, even the dehumidifier, dude. You know.
Yeah, I do have one.
Just take the moisture out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. But anyway, we have a few things to talk about today. We are talking Titan, Fargo, season finale of Fargo, and the past few episodes, because we haven't actually discussed that since then. Episode one of Preacher, even though two came out, most of us only saw one. The Mist. I saw The Mist. I'll give my first take on that. Transformers. I'm the only one who bit the bullet and saw Transformers, and I can give my 2 cents on that. Quote unquote, two.
All right.
And then Sean has a list for us.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a pretty slight Sam day. So.
Yes, it will.
Well, you know what? We're back on track with our weekly kind of events. So,
Sean, do you want to tease the list now?
I will tease the list. So Our list consists of our personal least favorite super villains from comic book movies.
So, it's Chris's complaint quarter.
It's gonna end up being Chris's complaint quarter.
So much about these villains. But anyway, let's start off with Attack on Titan, the unofficial podcast for Attack on Titan TV show America style.
Didn't know that was a style, but all right.
We are the official unofficial
Attack on Titan podcast. But anyway, we only talked a little bit about it last week because there wasn't really anything to discuss. Right. However, we just watched the last two episodes.
So we're all up to date.
Via Hulu.
Thank you, Hulu.
But anyway, we...
You're the true heroes in all this, Hulu.
Yeah. Chrome, not so much.
Not all heroes wear capes.
But anyway, a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, lots of fighting and...
Yeah,
eating.
And there was a lot of... We just lost half the cast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much in one or two episodes. But yeah, we lost about half the cast in one or two episodes. Commander lost his arm.
Yeah, that was pretty badass, though.
But yeah, it was pretty intense. A lot of fighting happened because they wanted to save Eren from being kidnapped. And... a lot of stuff was filled in, like I'm just trying to fill. This is one of those shows where stuff happens, but nothing really happens.
Right.
But
this
case, a lot did happen. Take my word for it.
Finally, something like a lot of stuff happens, and Eren can apparently control Titans.
Yeah. In the end,
that's like the big reveal.
It looks like Eren can control all the Titans except for the specials.
Right.
For the specials, but
That was, like, one of the big reveals of these episodes.
Yeah. The coordinate.
Coordinate
is what they said it was.
Yeah.
And I got a sense that the Titan powers are distributed among humans.
Yeah, they've officially come out and said that humans are Titans.
Officially. Yes, they've officially said that.
Like,
But
I'm pretty sure, I figured that out in the first season.
No, but they officially revealed it.
They found out.
This is fact. It's not, you know, we're not just like believing these things. This isn't a rumor. This isn't a theory. This is fact.
Yeah, but anyway, it's kind of big. It's kind of big news, and it made it seem as if the powers of Titans were passed on to these kids. So the armored Titan was passed on to Reinar, and then the giant
Colossal
Titan was Bertholdt, and then this small one was...
But that one, she borrowed the powers of the Titan, something like that? Like, that I'm still a little confused on. Like, she got her powers after being kicked off the tower because she was worshipped as a god by, like, that small community that, like...
Yeah, I couldn't follow that at that, all.
Yeah, that was confusing. And then she fell, and then next thing you know, she's a titan, and she's just running around, falls asleep, never wakes back up until Reinhardt and... Was it Bernhold or whatever?
They'll fill that in more, I think.
I hope so. And then they were saying something about borrowing the Titan power or something.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I'm here to give it back or
something
like that.
They'll fill that in, I think, a little bit later. But, I mean, the fact that Eren can control Titans.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's huge. And the fact that they now know that humans are Titans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's big news in Titan. In the show, in the program. So right. I don't remember how many episodes this season is, but...
We're at 12 right now.
Yeah, or 12 or 13.
It's 12. Okay. I remember seeing the number 12.
Okay. But anyway, I think it's 20s. I think the seasons are in 20s, so a lot of stuff hopefully a lot of stuff is about to come.
Yeah, it felt like this was like the mid-season finale kind of thing.
A lot. Well, I think it's just because we watched two really good episodes in a row.
Well, like... Then they had that pause, like thing that they always do where they're like, if you can read like 300 words per second, you can read this. But if not, you just have to pause it and trust us. I felt like that after that came up, because that's in every episode, like everything calmed down and stuff was like really like they were putting the pieces together and figuring everything out.
So let's talk about the end reveal. All
right.
The last second of the episode, you see the Beast Titan at the end of the wall. Yeah. For some reason, they're all staring out into the unknown.
Right.
And then it zooms all the way out, and then you see the Beast Titan with a humanoid-looking person. Yeah.
A super-duper buff human
and
guy.
And wicked blonde.
Yes, and it looks kind of like Eren's dad.
He had glowing eyes.
Well, which I'm assuming were... Which I'm assuming were glasses.
I don't know. He could have been a Jawa. Really buff Jawa.
Tiwi!
Tiwi.
I'm with you, though.
Tiwi, we even lived?
I'm with you. I think Eren's dad
is
the one behind everything.
Right, because of the whole basement thing in the
and
first
the doctor
episode.
And all this other stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot that kind of points that
the
way.
The key.
Yeah. The key's to the basement, right?
I don't know.
Or did he give him the key and be like... You'll understand when it gets to it or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't think
It was so long ago.
Yeah, I'm not sure that they actually like applied that and everything. All right, so let's move on.
Yep.
What do you want to do? Let's do episode 1.
Okay. You mean 2.1.
So Preacher came out, season 2 came out last week. John saw episodes 1 and 2 and Sean and myself saw episode 1. Sam didn't see anything.
Sam, just start watching the show.
Yeah, that's what I did. So I watched the first, three episodes of season 1.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so god awful because I did not know where it was going. So I was like, fuck it. And so last night I was like, well, podcast is tomorrow. I should probably watch this so I can have something to say. And like the previously on Preacher, like that thing. Just like summed everything up. I was like, why is there even a season 1? Like, I'm a 890-year-old vampire. Check. Okay, I understand why that guy was dying.
Genesis and then his girlfriend.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. And then there was the whole like scene in the car where they're like, should we tell him we had sex? I was like, they had sex. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I forgot about that. Like,
no, they just kissed. They didn't have sex.
Oh.
But anyway, The point was made.
That's sex if you're 14.
Yeah, well,
it's how you make babies.
Yeah.
But
so to give people some context here, what happened was, you know, this is based on a comic book series graphic novel. So the actual story, pretty much that's told in the comics, starts with the episodes that. Are on right now.
So season 2.
But they did not actually start the television series of those episodes. They sort of made a prequel season sort of like, you know, Westworld or some other, I can't think of off the top of my head what the other show was, but, you know, this sort of set up the characters so you have kind of like a deeper understanding of them when they go on their adventure. And to be fair, yeah, it might be a little weird to just start with these guys on a road trip, not really having any other basis for them. But they essentially, like, made or enhanced, like, you know, 10 episodes worth of backstory for what was essentially, like, 4, 5, 6 characters.
Picture the 13 worst hours of TV you can possibly imagine. Get zero payoff. And then get rewarded with a good episode one of the next season.
Yeah.
Be like, we screwed you the first season. We're going to give you something that's nice.
I feel like it's they're like, well, source material, we got it. Original stuff, yeah, don't trust us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We can't go
over. Are they
the
pulling a reverse Heroes?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
First,
yeah.
No. You know what would be? Parks and Rec.
Oh,
Avoid the first season. Just don't watch it.
Definitely.
Because, like, I can sit here, like, and just be like, oh, so it's a vampire, a priest, and some lady on a road trip. All right. That's fine. I can go with it.
But it's...
I mean, like, and it's not to say that the first season is, like, devoid of, like, any good stuff. Like, there's plenty of, like,
interesting
things going on.
It's pretty bad.
But it's really not... To stretch it out for, like, 10 episodes, and, like, even more so than we usually talk about, like, the Marvel shows being, like, 7 episodes worth of stuff in, like, a 10-episode series... Like, there was, like, 2 or 3 episodes worth of, like, actual, like, good, interesting stuff going on.
I feel like the first season should have been summed up into, like, 2 episodes to start this season.
Should have been, like, 24 Redemption.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 2-hour special of a TV show. That's what it should have been, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And we sat through hell. But thankfully, the first episode was...
It was nice.
Very good.
It was
rewarding, you know? They stayed with the 3 characters throughout the whole episode.
They added a few, but they didn't stick around very long.
Nope, they didn't stick around long at all. And that's it.
I was okay with that.
It was simple.
Oh, this is my, like, adopted dad. Okay, now he's dead.
Yep, the cowboy comes and he's chasing
he's
the preacher. Saint of Killers.
Yep.
Yes. And I like
Saint,
that guy.
Saint of Killers, right? Not Killer of Saints.
No, Saint of Killers.
Okay. But yeah, and that's it. It was a good story.
It was funny at times.
It was funny.
Like the girl in the cage. I laughed my ass off at that. Like,
and it's fun. Like, fun. And I mean, honestly, it almost has less of a purpose and point in some ways than the first season does. But I don't really care. It's just kind of like, this is great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to watch. Sam, you just got to sit down and watch it.
Maybe I'll hop on it.
Yeah.
It's sort of like if you made The Walking Dead, but it was just like, there's no, like, dread. It's just kind of like, we're just going to fucking shoot some zombies.
But anyway, I'm
back.
And
the second episode,
on Preacher.
Not to spoil anything, it's pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
It's a little bit crazier. We get another blast from the past.
Ooh.
Oh, is the blast word emphasized?
Kaboom?
Maybe. Well, it's the other angel who...
Oh, okay.
Came back. Yeah. He's got his own little montage and everything. Oh, it's fantastic.
I was talking about Ass Face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
I think he's
probably
queued up for 3, but...
I don't know if
it's
in,
good.
Like, flashbacks.
I would,
or...
you know, if people had checked out in the past, I would highly recommend jumping on. And even if you haven't, like, just get on board with this. It's
like,
not super hard to understand.
Like me, I checked out, and I'm back on board with this show. Like,
yeah.
I enjoyed it.
All you need to do is watch that previously on Preacher, and you're fine.
Right.
I think you're fine.
Which all AMC shows, I feel, have those, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
The Walking Dead.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I think I could probably speak for all of us. I think we're back on Preacher.
Yeah, no, it's the show that I feel like we were promised for the first season. Like, everybody was like, it's phenomenal, it's amazing. And we were like, it's shit.
Yeah, right.
Now it's like, wow, this is great. Okay,
and
now we're
John, I'm glad that you said to watch it again.
Ditto.
I'm glad
Ditto.
That you said it because
Thank
I
you.
Was not planning on watching it.
Me
so.
Neither.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. But I just feel like it's almost like in some ways like tough to fuck up when you have like a good road trip with like likable characters you kind of want to be around. Mm. Like what could go wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, a strip club, but yes. A few things could go wrong. But anyway.
I loved the joke that how, like, Cassidy, who's the vampire, like, knows the best way to, like, get the blood taste out of your mouth, which is apparently, yeah, like, hot sauce and Yoo-hoo.
Yeah. Or, like, to quell the shock or the sickness of shock. Yeah. No, that's funny. That's
like
funny.
The jokes in it, I mean, they weren't just, like, slap you in the face jokes. They were, like, subtle things, and they were hilarious.
Yeah, so the I think the first two episodes here were directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, who are, you know, among other fame, producers on the show. And, I mean, there's a scene in the second episode that you can very much tell, like, it's their work, because it's, you know, you've seen it 1,000 times and, you know, this is the end and all the other their other movies. But, yeah, I mean, I think it was – I don't know if they actually directed any from the previous season, but –
They did. I knew Seth Rogen did.
Yeah, really nice change.
Good, yeah.
And I believe Seth Rogen is now executive producer as well.
He was the first season, too.
He was.
Yeah,
okay,
they always – yeah, they sort of, like, have created it with a couple of the, like, former, like, old producers from, like, Breaking Bad, which they shoot in Albuquerque just like they do for that. And Better Call Saul, so.
Yeah. Well, I think I do know that sometimes that creators and writers will actually become executive producers the following season or
no, but they
the
were
sequel in a movie.
They were kind of like the minds behind this whole project, so they stuck with it from first season to second season. So.
Yeah. No. No.
And I'm okay with that.
We're on Preacher.
Yeah.
We're on Preacher.
Sam, get on it.
All right.
He's not getting it.
He's not getting on it. Yep. But anyway, let's stay in episode.
Yo,
one.
Actually, could I interject really quick here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of shows Sam won't watch, but finding myself like watching a couple Westworld episodes every now and then still holds up.
Does it?
Still's pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
That's a good sign because we're not going to get Westworld for like 4 years, so we might need to binge season one again to, you know, get back into it.
Yeah, I think it's early next year at this point.
Yeah, it's early 2018 right now.
And then they're saying Game of Thrones is going to be delayed again too. Yikes!
That's not good.
So long as it's good, man.
It's Thrones. Right, you really can't screw it up at this point. It's
thank God.
Everybody expects the unexpected now, so
ask
you could screw
Sopranos
it up and we won't
if you
even
can
know.
Screw something up. Just ask the Sopranos.
I never watched the Sopranos, so
I actually never watched a single episode, but I watched the finale, and even I was like, "What the fuck just happened?" So I wasn't alone on that one. That was nice.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful finale.
But anyway, let's stay in the realm of episode ones.
Okay.
And I'm the only
Phantom Menace.
I'm the only one who watched The Mist.
Yes. Okay.
So it is
without
based
giving
off
spoilers,
of it is based off of Stephen King's The Mist. It is not the movie. But it does have the same concepts and the same feels.
Okay.
The same feel for the town and you know, the local small town group and crews, crews meaning
like
groups of
people,
you know, things like that. Still a small office, like police station type thing, you know, football is the main sport, things like that. And,
in Maine, yeah, totally.
It's set up now pretty well.
Okay.
The Mist is already in the town, and
yeah,
people have already started to become affected.
Okay.
So it is. It is on Spike TV.
Yes.
And that's
it
still
is
around.
Crazy. I mean, thank God Spike is going this road because it's gory.
Okay.
It's gruesome as hell. And they are not afraid to push the boundaries of cable TV.
Okay.
They're really not. So they're like AMC level with this show right now. And in regards to that, the overall story... you don't really know exactly what's happening because a mist just came.
Right. Everything's kind of chaos right
now. Everything's kind of chaos. There's a subplot with, I'm assuming it's a subplot with a teenage girl and a situation with a boy.
Oh.
And that's all I can say. But number one, I don't want them to dwell on that because it's the mist and it's affecting the town.
Right.
There's bigger things at stake. Not saying that that isn't important, but still, like, you know. But anyway, I've seen one episode, and I am hooked on it.
Okay.
I love the movie, and I like the story of The Mist, so I'm going to stay with this and then see what happens. So. All
right. Because, I mean, Spike has a history of just doing shit.
So. I know, which is hard for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Spike TV also did, was it Spike who did Blue Mountain State?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue Mountain State is the funniest TV show I've ever seen in my entire life. So, once out of every 5 years, Spike will do something good. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that maybe this will be the show. Lip Sync Battle is pretty awesome.
Oh, God.
But still, it's,
Oh, God.
No, but I'm hooked, and I think you guys should, like, tag along with this one, at least for a few episodes to see if you like it or not. I'm going to stick with it.
What actor plays The Mist?
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
He's a very versatile actor.
Speaking of Steve Buscemi.
Oh, God, no.
Transformers movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. You gotta
fuck you, Sam. Fuck you.
I believe he was in this Transformers movie.
I'm looking this up right now.
Please do so.
Steve.
Should I go into my Transformers review? It doesn't get any better of a transition.
That was the best transition I've ever heard.
Does it?
Fuck you, Sam.
Doesn't get any better of a transition than that. So anyway,
I feel dirty.
Anyway, I'm the only one who nut up. I'm the only one who wanted to see Transformers, so I'm not even gonna say nut up and took a bullet for this thing. But I,
you didn't have to.
I went and saw Transformers opening weekend, might I add, and the theater was empty.
Good.
But we'll get into that later. But this movie,
God damn it, he was.
Is a whole pile of shit. Oh my goodness. I could stand Transformers 4. I could stand the third one. But this one was just hard to sit through. I kept looking at my phone like, is this over yet? Is this over? I think it's over.
Let's get out of here. It's pretty amazing that Age of Extinction got a Metascore of 32, fan score of 5.7. So you're like, oh, that's kind of low. It's amazing that this one got a 5.3 fan score and a 28 Metascore. So it's like
already,
yeah.
Well, no, it's been out for what, a week?
It's been just about a week.
And hold on, praise Jeebus and anybody you pray to. This movie did not make any money domestically.
We will get into this later. We'll get into it later.
Domestically.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get into it later.
First of all, where did the Nazis come in?
So apparently, I'm going to spoil this movie. If you haven't seen Transformers, full disclosure, if you haven't seen Transformers, I will spoil this movie.
Whoa. Are you saying they're robots in disguise?
Wow, okay, that's a stupid joke, but that's a Sam joke.
I saw a tweet that said they're friends with Harriet Tubman. Is that true?
Please tell me that is true.
I don't remember them showing that in the movie.
Is Harriet Tubman in the movie?
Please, I don't think so. No,
please
no.
Tell me that they made that reference.
No, I don't think she's in the movie. I don't remember her being in
the
movie.
Let's see what Google says.
Anyway, Bumblebee was supposedly a robot who has been here since the 1940s. And he helped fight World War II. The Allies fight in World War II. And I can't explain anything further than that.
Was he like storming the beaches of Normandy as a Camaro?
No, he was a. He looked like a Volkswagen Bug at the time.
I mean,
like
whoa, Bug?
Which side was he on?
Yeah, I know. It looked like a bug. I'm sure it's some
das
other.
Das Bumblebee.
You know, I'm sure Michael Bay puts a lot of focus into that. But, like every other Transformers movie, this was an advertisement on. This was an advertisement for vehicles and Bud Light. And
like most good movies.
But oh man, was this thing a crock of shit? Just the story itself was ridiculous. I mean, how many times did Cybertron be involved in trying to come to Earth? How many times? But, oh my God. So you think in a day and age where Wonder Woman is such a huge hit, they would have more than two fucking women in the movie.
All right. Can I just interject real quick? Yes, Harry Tubman was friends with the Transformers. It is confirmed. It is in the movie. Sir Anthony Hopkins' character mentions that they were friends.
But anyway.
They always fought for the good side. And this, there's like a secret
society. Let me get back to that. I will get on Anthony Hopkins in a second. But getting on
what
that.
What were they hiding as a Conestoga wagon?
There was one girl in the first half of the movie, and then there was the older woman in the second half of the movie, and that was it. That was it.
Well, yeah.
I had to think about this after the movie. I'm like,
Mark Wahlberg.
Wait, hold on a second.
Where are the women?
There are only two women in this movie. One is 14.
Why aren't the Transformers female?
That's what I. Why isn't there a girl Transformer? Are all the Autobots male? Voiced?
Yeah. Why not?
Jesus.
No, seriously, I think.
How do they reproduce?
How does nobody.
Asexually, Sam.
Who does these movies?
Michael Bay?
Warner Brothers?
Michael Bay.
Oh, no.
It's Paramount.
Paramount. Who at Paramount is saying, well, we've had five Transformers movies. How come there's only zero female Transformers? How is nobody has said anything at Paramount?
There was. It's in the second one, the girl that attacks Shia LaBeouf at the dorm.
Yeah, you know,
the evil one.
What is Shia achieving for feminism?
One. There was one
evil sex bot.
But even then, there are two women in this whole fucking movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And Harry Tubman.
I don't know, dude. Like, in some cases, I'm like, yeah, like the ladies of the world, like, yeah, we'll sit this one out.
And they were smart.
No, maybe that's a good idea.
Like, you know,
maybe,
and you know,
maybe they should have listened to the women.
Maybe this is like a super feminist, like pro feminist movie where they're like, yeah, no women took part in this.
See
film.
What happens when we don't take part in a movie?
You get Transformers 5.
You know who wasn't smart?
Michael Bay.
Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, God, yeah.
I feel like that guy will do anything at this point.
He was, I bet you he read this movie and he already signed on before he probably read the whole script or understood what he was really getting into.
He saw the paycheck.
And at that point, he's probably just like, well, fuck it. And then he just goes full on crazy.
How long was he in the movie for?
He was in there for the, I want to say for the second act and a little bit of the third.
Okay, so he's got a kind of
he's got an important role.
Well, yeah,
I'll give
you
that.
Explains how they're friends with
Harry
Tubman.
It's an important role.
Yeah, that has to be explained.
And it's just Optimus isn't even in the movie, and he's about to kill Bumblebee, and he's possessed. He's a computer, and he's possessed by the queen. I forgot her name.
Who's a computer?
Anthony Hopkins?
Autobots. No, the Autobots.
Oh, okay.
They're like computers with a soul, and then he just gets...
Isn't that what they always were?
No, I know, but somebody downloaded, like, the queen just possessed him, essentially, to fight for her instead of...
Did somebody give him a virus?
I would think so, to put it into computer terms.
Well,
but anyway,
I'm going into like
the
Independence
one thing,
Day terms.
He's beating the shit out of everything. And the one thing that makes him stop is Bumblebee's real voice. Plot hole? How the fuck does he get his voice?
He's always had it.
No. The whole movie.
No, he's always had it.
No. Throughout the movie, they're changing voice boxes.
Yeah, I know. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it.
And they don't actually put a new one in. How does he get his real voice
Cause
back?
Because plot holes. Does he sound as
Cause
like...
Because he idiot? Drank this delicious Bud Light.
I would have...
Sam, it's a kid's movie. Mountain Dew.
No, it was Bud Light.
Oh, was it Bud Light?
Yeah,
oh,
it flew from the fridge. I'm trying to think anything good from this movie.
Good luck.
You know, it was funny, like, seeing the reviews for this. Like, it went from the normal, like, eye roll of a, like, Transformers, like, movie, or even, like, any, like, shitty, like, Michael Bay movie these days, to, like, guys, this has to stop. Like, they're talking to, like, an alcoholic or, like, a gambling addict. Like, you can't keep doing this.
My favorite is,
we're
like,
all here because we love you.
My favorite thing is, like, all the commercials are, like, the final Transformers movie. Except for the fact that a month ago, Michael Bay talked about having 18 in the works.
Oh, no, it isn't. They set it up for the next movie.
Yeah, but all
the commercials... No, there's a credit scene at the end.
I know, but all the commercials stated it as the final Transformers movie. They're all... Like, they even say that, the final Transformers movie.
And
it's totally not.
And
I mean,
you remember the dinosaur bots?
Sure.
From the last movie?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't. That's right. You didn't see it. But there were like
dinosaurs.
There were Dinobots in the previous movie.
Did they say terrorize?
And they had a big battle. And they had a big battle. But it was like the barricade thing. Where did he go?
Like all of a sudden disappears.
Yeah, barricade came back in.
Oh, well, wasn't he back a couple movies ago? Screw it.
No.
Wasn't he back a couple episodes ago?
You know what? He might have. You know, for some reason, I think he might have had a girl voice. Now that I think about it.
Like a sexy girl?
I wasn't going to be the one to say it.
Damn
but...
it, I have to go watch this movie all again.
Right. No.
Well,
we're going long on Transformers, but there was nothing good about this movie. Nothing good about this movie. Right.
Spoil it. What was the end credit scene?
So, there's Cybertron and Unicron.
Right.
Unicron is Earth.
What?
Yep. So when Cybertron and Unicron merge, one sucks the life out of the other to make their planet whole. So
Unicron's
Cybertron
supposed
was
to be the second moon.
I know. Fuck? So Earth is the moon. But anyway,
what?
In the end,
did you just blow your mind?
In the end, the queen is not dead, and scientists were experimenting on Unicron, Earth, and then she goes.
Don't they always?
He doesn't like that. And then that was it. So
he's a man.
He's a man. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So. Oh, the girl. That was a queen. The queen
is
another girl. Yeah. We don't actually see the human form until much later.
Is the queen voiced by anybody important? Do we know?
Not anybody you would know.
Okay.
Not
good
that I
for
know.
Me.
But anyway, I give this movie a 2.
Oh wow!
There are redeeming qualities that
no,
give it
aren't.
That
no,
give it a
no,
one. No, that
no.
give it a one.
Oh,
because yes, it's still Transformers, and that will always be the one. I gotta give it. I paid money for this, so it's definitely above a one.
So you're in denial.
Yeah, it's a two. It's a 2. There's no way that there is anything more than a 5. What did you say? Critics were a 5?
No, critics are 2.28. Fans say 5.3, which
no,
fans are stupid.
That's
they always
not,
vote
yeah,
higher.
No, that's
but
not true.
Metascore is a 28.
All right, so let's go on this then. You guys were worrying about box office numbers and whether or not they're going to do another movie, which they are.
Oh, well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Which they are. But I have box office numbers for you here. Production budget for this movie.
It was like
$217 million.
That's it?
Oh, without that's advertising
yeah. Okay,
and,
yeah.
and, you know, promotions and things like that.
We'll sum it up to like $300. We'll just go
yeah,
like
yeah.
$300.
Yeah.
God, that's so much fucking money. Like, to have cars, like, run into each other. Like, wow.
It's been out for... Fast and Furious. It's been out for a week.
Yes.
Domestically, it's made $79 million.
Yeah, it made, like, nothing.
When you look at absolute value, $79 million is a pretty good number.
So,
but
yeah,
when you have a budget of $200 or $300 million,
and it was the, you know, they it came out Thursday, so it had an extra long weekend for to make money, and
well,
it made like just barely half, like over half.
International,
of that.
It made $280 million.
Right,
so it will make the money back. But when you're looking at domestic totals, it's. It's not like World of Warcraft where it made shit money here, but China essentially quadrupled the amount of money
yeah.
it made.
I have to see that.
Wow.
World of Warcraft? Yeah, I rented it again. But anyway.
Just buy it at this point.
Yeah, I should have.
It did pretty well in China, though. I think I saw it was like 130 mil in China. So that's like, what, twice the U.S.?
Yeah.
For what, Transformers?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much twice the U.S.
Yeah, it's pretty much twice. And to go even further, like I said with The Mummy,
mm-hmm.
next week, this upcoming weekend is Despicable Me 3.
Yes.
Now, the target audience for that is the kids and the teens.
Pretty much the same kind of like area that Transformers,
Is in. And then in 2 weeks, you have Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Again, Transformers is all but dead.
Yeah.
Domestically, it's all but dead.
Yeah.
International, who knows? So Paramount is going to have to think really hard about what's going to come next.
Paramount, okay, so
I mean, they already announced movies, but haven't actually done things.
Clearly, they have not been thinking at all.
So I read an article about Paramount, about how shitty this movie's doing domestically, and how shitty Paramount's been doing with movies lately, too. Like
they had a write-off for Monster Trucks. Was that Paramount or Universal?
Oh, my God.
I think it was Paramount.
Yeah, I think it was Paramount.
But like the Ninja Turtles franchise has been Paramount, and those
those actually made money, so they didn't lose
not much.
Anything.
The second one didn't make as much as the first one made a ton because everybody basically flocked to it. The second one was shit.
I gotta look at numbers for that again, but
yeah, but yeah, like I was going through the list and like they've had a lot of shitty movies lately, and I don't know if it's just because of the directors behind it or the, you know, everybody else, but it's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
They're all shitty movies.
Yeah, they're putting out nothing but crap right now.
No, I mean just like all movies.
There have been some good stuff this summer, though.
Remember, it was two, 3 weeks ago, I said we're almost at the halfway mark. Is this year doing better or worse than last year? Movie-wise.
We need to think about that.
Right.
Well, I need a little bit of time.
We're almost
to think
at the halfway
that.
Point. At the end of this month, it is June. This is the halfway point. So, like, this weekend would be, like, the halfway point. So,
maybe we can do that 4th of July special.
I think so. But just a thought, to put in our heads, is this year so far better or worse? I mean, we have a lot to look forward to on the back end, but that hasn't happened yet, and all of that could be shit. Let's ignore that.
I think it's indistinguishable.
Well, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it next week, John.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that. That's an in-person discussion.
That's a thought. That's, yeah, John, you have to be here for that.
Okay, so speaking of the end of franchises, let's talk end of season for Fargo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Winter's over, man.
Yep. So John really wanted one of us, at least one of us, to watch Fargo, and I watched this whole season. And thank you for telling me that you only needed to watch from the beginning of the season. You didn't need to watch the previous seasons. And as I said before, I hate this show, watching it on a daily, every day when I watch it. But days later, I really like the show. I don't know why. It's just that's the way it is. And that was the case for the last three episodes of this season because all this shit blew up in everybody's face. And, John, what are your thoughts on this? Season 3 of Fargo.
I thought the show got better towards the end of the season. Like, I thought at the beginning it was a little scattered, maybe is the best word. Like, I really didn't give a shit about, like, I can't really say Ewan McGregor, but Ray, the older brother, like, I really didn't care about him. And, like, you know, I think Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who's Nikki Swango in this, was, like, the best character. But the only sort of, like, complaint or whatever I had was, like, I never really fully believed that, like, she was, like, madly obsessed and in love with Ray. Did you get that vibe?
No, it always seemed like she was just kind of settling for him.
Yeah, or she was kind of, like, scamming it because, you know, he was her parole officer or whatever.
Yeah, I thought that through, yeah, the whole season.
Which kind of in some way makes, like, the ending sort of thing of, like, her revenge, like, a little weird. Like, you would think, like, her motive wouldn't be to, like, go back and kill everybody. It would just be like, okay, well, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, but, I completely agree.
So, Chris, what you don't know, unless you, like, dug into Wikipedia or IMDb or whatever, is that when she gets on that bus...
Yeah, how the fuck...
The guy she's
with,
Mr. Wrench...
What are the odds that you crash and escape with another prisoner who has assassin-like abilities.
Right, and who is also like a integral, not integral, but was like a character in the first season.
Oh, he was in the first season?
Yeah, he's actually technically, I guess, in the second season too, but he's like in the first season. And that's like really the only time they've ever done that in that sort of way.
Okay.
Like, I don't need to go into the rest, but yeah, and I like that. I thought it was actually kind of cool. And I guess, I don't know. It seemed to get like a little bit of like a tighter show, I guess, as it went along. And like, it was kind of more about like Gloria hunting Varga and like Nikki Swango like going after Varga too. Like, I thought that was good.
It seemed more fluid than the previous episodes. There was a good steady flow to things,
right,
until the end, because a lot of stuff just kind of fell into place, like the whole Nikki and the deaf guy, the guy from season one, whatever his name was.
Mr. Wrench.
That whole setup of them trying to take out Varga in the warehouse, that was fantastic. And it was a good chunk of the episode. And it was nonstop. And yeah, that was really, really nice. And because Fargo can really, really, really drag out some of its stuff. Not to mention, there's a lot of wasteful things. Like that whole episode where she goes to L.A., what a fucking waste of time.
Yeah, you know, I thought, like, as a self-contained episode, like, it was interesting and it told a story. But, and it's, I didn't feel like I was, like, lacking for, like, more info or, like, a wider look into everything else that, like, we missed by it just being, like, you know, focused on her the whole time. But, like, yeah, I kind of agree. It was sort of like a wasted episode, I guess, in some respects. Like, it didn't go with everything else, I guess. Like, it really, I mean, obviously it's supposed to stand out, but, like, it really didn't, I don't know, like, how we were really better off. Like, the only thing I can think of is that, like, when does she bring up again, like, the whole, that alien story of, like, the I Can Help robot? She brings that up to somebody.
She was in the bar with her cop friend.
Okay.
And then she could finally use the water in the sink and get a piece of paper. It's a stupid thing. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, because she thought she was, like, the robot. Yeah, that, like, okay.
She thought she was invincible, but then, you know, she wasn't, and yada, yada, yada. And that's insignificant. That didn't help anything at all. It didn't hurt, but it definitely didn't help. It didn't progress anything forward. They hindered on it a lot, but it never progressed to anything. But it was, I mean, I was very, not dissatisfied, but I was very not content with the ending of the season. Particularly with what happened at the end with Varga and Gloria? Is that her name?
Yeah, Gloria Bergel.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't get it. What's the point of just showing the clock at the end?
Well, I think it was, wasn't she saying, like, you know, 3G agents are going to walk through that door, and he was like, no, someone else is going to walk through that door, let me go, or something like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know why, but it seemed to stick out to me that there was, like, a lot of scenes exactly like that. Like, people, like, on opposite sides of, like, an interrogation table. Which, if you remember, sort of goes back to the very, very first episode at the beginning when they have that sort of, like, East Germany, like, prologue or whatever at the beginning.
Oh, that useless thing? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that actually did have something to do with it, because they were talking about, like, what the facts actually were, and, like, how Varga, like, the whole time was, like, talking about, like, how, I don't know, how, like, stuff is whatever you believe it to be or whatever sort of thing.
I guess.
I don't know.
I guess.
I thought it was, it got better, but it was sort of, like, just good, not, like, great or anything like that. Like, I don't see myself, like, rushing back to, like, go rewatch it like oh, I no. did to a certain extent with the first season. And I still haven't gone back and watched the second season, but like I'm looking forward to whenever I figure out to do that. The yeah. second season is good, by the way. If you like this at all, the second season is like much more direct is maybe the way to say it. Like it's just better. Like I think it's more of a Chris show, I'd say.
Okay. All right, maybe I'll try that after Sons of Anarchy, but
it's on Hulu. You got Hulu, right?
Yeah, I got Hulu.
All right.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. But season 3, I can see why some people think it's the greatest show on TV right now, but I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah, it's an okay show, but to me,
it's got some good moments and it's interesting. I don't know if I'd say it's the greatest. I think that's probably some hyperbole.
Yeah,
which who would have thought? Right?
It's some it's some good. There's some good moments, like the guy, the Asian dude with the headphones. Like he's yeah. just randomly doing ballet in a house, and he's always wearing headphones. Like some of that stuff is pretty good, but it just. It's a tough one. So, it's tough to get through.
I guess. And what happened to the Russian guy? He just died, I guess.
I don't know. They met God.
He didn't give the like that whole scene in the bowling alley. Like to me, it's like, is that supernatural? Like
I don't know. And then
because it's the same guy from the bar in L.A., which I guess you know does tie in that episode, even though we just criticized it for not really tying
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but what did it really tie in? It didn't tie in anything.
I guess he could have just shown up and it wouldn't be weird, but it did make it weirder that he was there.
Oh yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I don't know. I don't know. Overall, what would you give this season if we wanted to rank it?
I would give it an 8 on the dot out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give it a 7.5 to an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I think the second season's probably like a 9, and the first season's probably like an 85.
Okay.
But, well, you know, 8.5.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd say this yeah. is... And, you know, maybe... So it's interesting for you that you were kind of a little tepid on it, because I was too, but, like, I felt like part of it is that, you know, you have the movie Fargo, and then you have the first two seasons, and then you have this, and it's very... You start to know what the beats are going to be. So, you know, the plot points and when stuff turns, it gets complicated and people get in over their head. It started to become predictive, but, you know, it's interesting that, like, you still felt like you were a little off or it was slow to unfold or, you know.
Yeah.
Even though you really weren't as familiar with it.
Well, now I feel like I know what to expect, so.
Right.
So, all right. Sean's trying to get us to hustle up off Fargo.
That was like a good like 20 minutes on Fargo. But,
yeah, sorry. But anyway. All right, so that does it on Fargo. I think it's a recommend watch for those of you who are into artfully directed shows.
Sure.
But anyway, Sean, why don't you just take it away and do the list.
All right, we're doing the list. Okay, so as I teased earlier... the list this week was super villains and worst super villains in superhero movies. I'm going to start because he's on Skype. John.
No.
Okay.
No,
oh, John doesn't even have a list yet, so he's got to think of
a
list.
I've got one. That's it.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to start with Sam then.
With me? All right.
Yeah.
First one I got on my list. From the Eddie Norton Incredible Hulk. Was it Abominable or whatever his name is?
Okay.
Or is that his name?
No. The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
No, but... Yeah, yeah. Hulk is the... yeah. Anyways, it's Abomination.
Abomination, that's it. I was wondering. I was like, it's some kind of word like that.
All right.
Because, like, he's just the Hulk. And that movie kind of just sucked, but...
Okay.
It was there. We always forget it's actually a part of the the Marvel universe.
All right. I honestly didn't mind the character, but you know what? This is your list.
It was boring.
Yeah. No. It, that's the other thing. I kind of like a input on this one. I don't want to just like throw this out. Like, why was this person awful? And
played by Tim Roth.
Yeah. Tim Roth. Yeah. Like good actor too.
But boring character.
Yeah.
All right. The next one, from Iron Man 2, I just called him the wrestler. Mickey Rourke.
God,
I forget what his name
is. Such Whiplash. A disappointment. Whiplash.
Whiplash, yeah. It's like Mickey Rourke failing at a Russian accent, and he's got some like electric whips.
He's you know what it is? It's
he's so, really into Devo.
Yeah, you know what his accent is? It totally is. When we play drinking games and we play like that accent game, and we're like, screw it, we're going to go Russian. Like it's like that.
Just
it's like
terrible,
a horrible Russian accent, but like you're also like incredibly intoxicated at the time. So I'm pretty sure Mickey Rourke was probably intoxicated while filming that movie. So,
all right. The next one on my list, Evil Mark Zuckerberg from Batman vs. Superman.
Yep, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like, why is he in this movie? Like, what is he trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Where did Doomsday come from? Like,
okay.
What was this?
The best part of that movie was Doomsday.
Right, it was the fight at the end.
But you're just sitting there the whole time being like, where the hell did he come from?
Oh, you know, lightning, Sam.
Lightning, yeah.
Lightning and, like, people and that water shit.
All right. And my last one, as I call her, the Boogie Fever Witch. From Suicide Squad, Enchantress.
God damn it, Sam.
Okay, so here's the counterpoint to that, because the first third of the movie with Enchantress, she was fine.
Oh, yeah.
It is just ruined by the last 12 minutes when she's
going,
doing the dance.
When she catches the boogie fever.
Yeah, yeah.
I was expecting John Travolta to show up.
I loved the first part of Enchantress, but the second half was so bad.
Yeah. So, John, you're still building your list?
I could go.
Oh, okay. John, you go right ahead.
All right. I'll go my first one. Since Sam took Enchantress from me, I'll stay in the DCEU, right? Because not the DCU, right? It's EU.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Wonder Woman. What's his name?
Ares.
Ares.
David Thewlis.
Yes. Yes, David Thewlis. I was just gonna say.
Speaking of he was great in Fargo.
But... he's fantastic in Fargo, and he's not even super bad in this movie. It's just the part he has to play is garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the bad guy. Like
I just didn't have my mustache the whole time. Really.
Right.
Yeah,
the evil twin who happens to be the god of war. Like, I mean, it's just it was so. I mean, we talked about this like 3 weeks ago, but it was just so contrived and like shoehorned in, and didn't I guess really add anything that like couldn't be done another way. It just seemed like shitty storytelling.
Yeah, it was.
So I'll say that. Right. My next one is another God of War, Jeff Bridges, another fantastic actor who's been in a Coen Brothers movie, another Big Lebowski alum.
Mm-hmm.
I know where he's going.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Iron Man. No, in Star Man. Like, no.
I thought Tron.
Yeah, he could have said Tron.
That's not a comic book.
They make comic books out
of
Tron.
Well, he's not great in Iron Man either. It's another weird part where it's like, oh, I'm the bad guy who has a bigger suit than you.
He has a beard, too.
I think it was the only reason why they put him in there was so at the end of the movie how they said, oh, it was a bodyguard in the suit.
What?
They wanted to say that it was a bodyguard in the suit because that's who they, in the comics, that's how it was.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to say that line in the movie and be like, how do we fit this in? Oh, let's make him a bad guy and give him a suit.
Well, I mean,
oh, I see.
I could defend all these people we're talking about, but I don't want to because it's pointless at times. But no, this is your list, John.
Testament to like just how charming and how otherwise good like the first two Iron Man movies are. That, well, actually, I guess technically Iron Man, right? Yeah, Iron Man movies are that they have two, like, really bad villains. My other one was going to be Mickey Rourke, and actually, it's probably still going to be just because I don't have any other ideas. Yeah. But yeah, that's my list. I had another one, but I forgot it. So
that's okay. Maybe you'll think of it while Chris is doing his.
Do we want to go one for one? Because I have a feeling we might have the same.
Let's go one for one. Do you have any that were already said?
No.
Oh, I do. I'm just going to state the two. I actually have two that were actually said. Ares from Wonder Woman, because he was such an awful villain.
In there.
Yeah, he's like, like John said, he was like just thrown in like, we need a big battle at the end. We'll just say Ares was this dude the whole time. And then the other one was Lex Luthor. I wanted to make sure I did two from DC, two from Marvel.
I do have two from DC. I didn't plan it that way, but I have two from DC.
I wanted to make sure it was that way because those are the two big companies.
I can guarantee you I have one of your models.
I doubt it, and I will explain
why. Well, just say it.
So the other one is Lex Luthor from Batman v Superman because he's awful.
Do you want me to see my DC?
Go ahead.
Okay, so my DC is... Oh, no, I have one from DC. DC is Two-Face.
From...
Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay.
Really?
Wow.
Not the Two-Face from Dark Knight.
No. The Two-Face with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, was that Batman Forever?
Batman Forever. Wow, was that bad.
Oh, yeah.
Since when is Two-Face comical?
Well, since when is the Riddler comical? They were both basically playing the Joker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for some reason, they're like, oh, let's slap some face paint on him and some prostheses. And
remember how the last two movies he was black? He's white now.
Yeah, right? Wow.
Played by Billy Dee Williams in the first two films.
Was that so bad? And then you see Aaron Eckhart play Two-Face, and you're like, wow, this is so much better given the character.
But at the same time, I thought that was shit, too.
Yeah, that was shit. That was shoehorned in.
I know. Comparatively, Aaron Eckhart, it's much better, but it was still bad. They have yet to really capture Two-Face as a character in movies.
He was coming into his own in The Dark Knight.
Was bad? Like,
For the character.
Like, he wasn't... loyal to the character, it wasn't true to what the character is, or it was just bad for the movie.
I thought it was great fit for the movie.
It just didn't
fit for the movie, but at the same time, it wasn't a good fit for the movie. Like, I understood, but like his reasoning, like his origin, I guess you would say, was like kind of stupid.
But
and like then, there was no reason for Two-Face to be in that movie.
Right.
It was like, oh yeah, we need to have another villain in this movie.
Yeah.
For Two-Face or for Harvey Dent? Or I guess both.
I would have liked Harvey Dent to be in there.
Yeah, okay.
And the end of the movie is his descent into madness, I guess you would say, because the whole point is he's got the dual personalities.
Right.
Big Bad Harvey and Harvey Dent. And so I would have liked the movie to like kind of go in that direction, like that's how it ends, not be like, hey, I'm the guy who killed your girlfriend. Now you're crazy. Oh, yeah, you're totally right. I'm crazy now.
But
right.
This is the problem with fanboys a lot of times is that they want true to comic books.
Right.
And you have to understand that a lot of these movies cannot do it that way. And they can. In this case, they could do it with Two-Face. Yes, I get it. But I like how they spin things a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they spin things a particular way.
I'm not even sitting here saying like, oh, they weren't true to the character.
No, I know.
I thought the character was just...
Yeah, it was...
Like, why is it there? Like,
yeah, it was kind of a pointless
there was,
character.
Like, the Joker was enough. You didn't need to throw in another villain who...
It wasn't...
Really didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, he didn't continue the story at all.
It wouldn't have mattered. He wanted to break the Batman. And then it just so happens that he broke both. He made him choose. Save the city or save your girlfriend.
No,
it just so happens that the ADA
and
your girlfriend
the locations,
are the girlfriend. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't matter. We're talking Two-Face, not Harvey Dent here. Harvey Dent, I was fine with that character. Two-Face, there was no reason he was in there.
They say people flirt with insanity on the edge of a dime or whatever it is. Like some things will just send you into
either way. This
oblivion.
Harvey Dent is
yeah,
going.
Yeah, we're
a
going.
Long.
Okay, we're going. That was supposed to be a small discussion for me.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Sorry,
you touched a nerve. All right.
Do you want me to do another one?
Yeah,
you did too.
Go ahead.
Okay, Emma Frost, played by Eye Candy,
yeah,
in X-Men First First class.
First class.
Yeah, aka I think January Jones played her.
Yes, she did.
Not eye candy. Now, however, what the hell was she in that movie?
Oh, she was awful. Like, they didn't understand who the character was at all. Like,
no idea.
Who was the villain in that movie?
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
All right, Kevin Bacon.
Remember him in front of a map pointing?
Yeah. He created Magneto.
But what is such a disappointment for one of the strongest telepaths in the entire mutant universe.
So here's why I definitely don't have that on my list. So when I said supervillains, basically that's the head honcho, the bad guy. That's the supervillain. She was more of a lackey in that one, so that's why I didn't include her. So
yeah, actually, I got my last choice here, and it's, I don't really have to do it right now, but it's kind of a B villain.
Oh, okay, so you're going for more of a lackey kind of.
Is it
like
the villain from the B movie?
No. Is there a bad guy?
The newspaper?
Isn't it just all of us?
Yeah, we were bad.
Yeah,
we were the villains.
But it.
Anyways, so
but I chose her.
Yeah, no, which is,
God, it's such a disappointing because she's so big.
That's the thing. There's so many of those, like, secondary bad guys out there that were just, like, horribly done. And that's why I didn't want to include any of them, because my list would be, like, 30 people long.
Oh, well, yeah.
I wanted to go for the bad guy, the main villain of the movie. Right. That's why, like, the first two that I said, Ares and Lex Luthor, they're the bad guy. They manipulate the plot.
Well, January Jones is a bad guy.
She's a bad guy.
She's a villain
but,
in the whole movie.
But Kevin Bacon is the one pulling the strings, basically.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying.
She's still bad.
But anyways.
Should I finish?
Well, so, yeah, why not?
I did, too.
Yeah.
My number two least favorite is Cumulus, a.k.a. Cumulonimbus, played by CGI, a.k.a. Galactus in the fucking Fantastic Four Silver Surfer movie.
Wait, okay.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. He's on my list.
What? I knew this is the one who I was...
Yeah.
What a disappointment.
The strongest
villain in the entire Marvel Universe, aside from Thanos, is played by a fucking CGI Cloud.
Yeah. It was... Oh, God.
And what does Silver Surfer do to get it away? He crouches down and shines bright. And that's it. What the fuck is going on?
Did he shine like bright like a diamond?
Yeah.
Emma Frost turns into diamonds, by the way. But anyway...
Yeah, no, that was...
What the fuck were they thinking?
God-awful.
Silver Surfer was such a cool character. And then they just decided to say, we just created this whole dude in a silver costume. Let's just skimp out on the fact that we can't create a cloud-based humanoid that could destroy planets.
I mean, there was that nice like little tease there where you could see the helmet like in a shadow. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, but
in retrospect, the whole thing was just shit.
Oh, God.
It was so awful. It
was ridiculous.
I mean, I loved the Silver Surfer. I loved his character. I thought his character was awesome in that movie. Like,
agreed.
I wanted more of that.
Agreed.
But, like, I feel like the straw that broke the camel's back for that Fantastic Four franchise, that series, was the fact that they made Galactus a giant dust ball.
It would have been 100 times better if they had a humanoid creature in the suit flying. It could have just been clouds in the shape of him flying to Earth and then sticking out his hands and then
you know
creating
what would have been cool
cloud.
Though if it was the cloud, but once it reached Earth, it took humanoid form.
That would have worked too.
I would have been okay with that.
At some point, they needed to do a humanoid form,
right.
And they didn't do
like,
it.
Like, hint it. You don't even have to do color. Just show the form of it as cloud form and, like, be like, oh, my God, it's Galactus.
Yeah.
Not that
shit.
We get it.
It's chewing up the Earth. But why is the moon still there? I knew he was on your list.
I knew he was on your list. He was the one that I was like, I had one before, but I can't remember.
Your last one's Marvel?
My last
one
is Marvel.
And I know who this one is. And I know who
it is. I doubt
it.
Let's see.
Okay. You want to guess mine, and I'll guess yours?
All right. Yours, I'm going Deadpool.
No.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
I was going to go with you, Venom.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. Because they set up the whole movie like, he's Venom. Oh, my God. He's a bad guy. And they like, kind of like Ares. They like kind of were like, let's just write him in at the end. Like, why not? Like. He didn't drive the story at all anywhere. He was just kind of there at the end, because he like kidnapped the girl, like, you know.
It was so bad.
And like the whole time he's like whining. He's like, Peter Parker stole my job. God, please kill him. Like, who does that?
I was just waiting him for a scream to him to like scream the name Donna throughout the whole movie.
To hire Eric Foreman as the actor.
We just skipping over Sandman from that movie?
I liked Sandman because he wasn't bad. He was good yet bad. Like it was weird.
It was just
for
stupid.
That movie. Well, for that movie,
yeah, it was so fucking dumb.
Not as dumb as Venom.
When you're looking at Spider-Man 3, you're like, okay, who do I choose? Do I choose Sandman, who's basically throughout the entire film? Do I choose the new Goblin, who is throughout the entire film? Or do I choose Venom, who was in everything, literally every promo for this movie, but doesn't show up till the last 20 minutes? And even then, it's awful what you see of him.
But about kids. Yeah. They have cancer.
And it, who did you guess for mine?
I said Deadpool.
It's not Deadpool.
Yeah, from X-Men Origins.
I was considering him, but I'm like, you know,
he was awful, but he wasn't the bad guy.
Nobody ever really referred. I guess he was referred to as Deadpool, but
he was Weapon X. He was referred to as Weapon X,
but so. It wasn't. It wasn't him.
Okay. This is Marvel, right?
This is Marvel. My least favorite of all time, and I'm surprised you didn't guess this one, is Trevor Slattery, a.k.a. the Mandarin in the fucking Iron Man 3 movie.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's the best fucking villain, and I'm not even joking.
He is the absolute worst villain, because let's take this into context. I'll give you a little bit of background information of the Iron Man comics. The main bad guy is the Mandarin.
Yeah. He's a major villain. Here's the thing, though.
He control what is the equivalent of Earth Infinity Stones, even though they're made out of alien parts. But still. He has 10 rings that can manipulate air, fire, like wind, everything.
Everything.
And he is one of the most powerful
cats.
Villains in the comic books for Iron Man. Why is he fake?
Yeah. Here's my thing on that, like,
especially when he has PTSD about aliens landing in New York City, and the way he got his rings was building this rings out of parts of the alien ships. You could have associated that
with
the movies.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I can see why you think he's awful. I can see why John thinks he's great, because
it's such a troll job.
It really is. And it's kind of nice, too, that it's like, I mean, I hated the fact that Killian was the bad guy the whole time, because
I hated that. Iron Man 3 is my least favorite.
It had so much potential, but it failed. There was so much bad. But just the role of the Mandarin, it was amazing, because they built him up to be this like uber like bad guy.
Throughout the whole
movie. The whole movie, through promos, and he looked like he was going to be that. It was such an amazing reveal, though, him being this, like, take it out of context. Take it, like, remove the comics. Look at it as itself. It's hysterically funny. Like, the fact that they did this whole switch job on this character. Now, I was kind of hoping that the Mandarin would actually show up, like the true Mandarin. Sadly, he didn't. But it was funny that they took this character that is so well known and just flipped it on its head and been like, no, he's fake.
But I hated that Killian
was the bad guy.
I hate it. I was so excited for the Mandarin.
I was too. Beyond like excited.
It was such a big letdown.
Yeah.
John, what was your last one?
Oh, I got two because I remembered. I thought of one.
He's got five now.
Please.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's my first one. And I'm surprised no one mentioned this because people just probably forget this movie. But Corey Stahl in Ant-Man, that guy sucks.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's nothing more you can say about that. It's
Yellow Jacket.
He was Yellow Jacket. Yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah, it was tough because I mean that movie was written like several times by different people. So
it was directed by a few different people.
So. It was written by Edgar Wright at first, and then they took that out.
Yeah, I thought he directed a little.
Did you guys talk Han Solo last week?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. That's slop fest. I think I said that I think the Flash is in better shape than Han Solo right now, and Han Solo is almost done filming.
Yeah. It's gonna be crazy. I think fuck that movie up. Okay, my other one though.
Listen to last week's
B-level
episode.
Villain, and it's another one that I think people like forget about too. It's Carmine Falcone in Batman Returns. Batman Begins. Tom Wilkinson.
Batman Begins. So with Christian Bale.
Really? Well, I wouldn't see him as the bad guy though. That's the
right. He's like a B villain, right. But it's like, what the fuck is this supposed to be?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can see it.
I guess he wasn't really like the super villain though. As I
no, he's not. Which is why I said he's like a B villain.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Okay.
I can see it.
Yeah. I think he was just there to further the plot of like him of Bruce Wayne like trying to clean up the city.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that as well.
Like, he wasn't supposed to be this uber, like, bad guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to go with that. I was disappointed that Victor Zsasz was in there. But no, it was nice though at the same time. It really was. I was happy Zsasz was there. Because it was like a little like, hey, look, here's the super villain.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Just ignore him now.
Okay, so we'll wrap this up.
I like these kind of lists because there's a lot of arguments.
It's a lot of discussions. I know. It's going to we run really long.
Oh, yeah, we did. Compared to last week.
But anyway, let's wrap this up. So if you like our episode and you want to listen to more, you can find more of our episodes on iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher for free.
Woo!
You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Give us a like, send us a review. We don't mind whether it's good or bad. Next week is 4th of July, and I believe we'll be doing not really a 4th of July special, but we might come up with just a few topics that we could probably talk for hours about.
Sam will talk The Mummy, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully Sam will see The Mummy, and maybe we'll see Despicable
Preacher
Me 2. 3.
And Preacher number 2.
Preacher episode 2, possibly 3. No, 3. 2 oh, yeah, and 3, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, we should go see Baby Driver. That actually looks not bad.
Oh, that's this weekend,
I've heard
too?
Good things.
I feel like I've seen that is.
Speaking
already.
Of Edgar Wright,
right. He refuses to see Ant-Man, by the way.
Who does?
Edgar Wright.
Oh, do you blame the guy?
Not really.
Like, think of a project you spent so much time on, and then they were like, nope, and then did it anyways. Would you pay attention to it at all?
I work for a big corporation.
Disney's got a really good stretch going of, like, just canning people who are, like, remotely, like, creative.
Right.
Well, it's so great.
It's depressing because they're like, no, we have a formula, we're sticking to it, and that's getting a little scary.
Did you guys talk about Ron Howard? Was that out yet?
No, that wasn't out yet.
No, it came out the day
after.
What
do you think of Ron Howard?
Is he official?
Yeah, he's official now.
Oh, God.
It's an odd fit.
If he doesn't do Da Vinci Code style, I'll like it a lot.
I just don't know like, I have a feeling it's going to be a mix of comedy. I mean, yeah, it's probably going to be a mix of comedy and like, serious drama.
Sarcasm, I think, is a better... I think they want to fall down the sarcasm line.
Right, but you had two very funny directors, and then you switched the tone from people who are known for funny comedies to somebody who's known for their dramas.
I guess.
But Ron Howard's done funny too. I mean, like, he was involved with, like, you know, Arrested Development and, like, you know, that Grinch movie.
we can talk about Ron Howard and his publicized works and how the fact that we don't need another Star Wars spinoff movie. So.
No, we're all in agreement on this this Han Solo film that it does not need to be made.
Yeah, nor the Obi-Wan Kenobi one.
Yeah, but, like, is it unnecessary? Maybe, but, like, shouldn't that movie, like, be impossible to fuck up, though? Like, seriously.
Yeah,
well, I guess they did.
They did, though.
At this point, my blame is lying with Kathleen Kennedy and the writer.
Yeah.
At this point,
seems like a grumpy old dude who won't just roll over and die.
It's not even that. If you listen to last week's episode, you hire two directors who have thrived on comedy movies,
yeah.
And you're hiring them to do a film that you know you want to be more along the lines of sarcasm and action than actual comedy. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen? And then, three weeks left of filming,
yep.
They get fired. So,
how of an amazing troll job would it be if they just are like, all right, guys, we fired Lord and Miller, and we're going to replace it with George Lucas.
What do you do at that point? You just bow down and take... exit stage left, right?
No, you know what would be funny if Lord and Miller were like, fuck it, Han Solo Lego movie.
Yeah, right? Like, that would be awesome. That. Oh, that would be so sick if you they had a Star Wars us. Lego movie.
Yeah, right? Like, they
made fun of the Han Solo movie throughout the whole thing. Well, Warner Brothers does have them. Or no.
They have the rights to all things Lego and anything Legos, so they can parody Star Wars, which they did in the Lego movie.
Is it Disney? Disney, I think, is owning that.
I think it's tougher to do the out of stuff. Like, they really want it to be stuff Warner Brothers owns, like DC and shit like that.
Yeah, Warner Brothers might sign them on to try and do Flash because they left Flash to do Han Solo.
Right.
So who knows? Who knows? We'll see. We're getting really late. Let's end it.
Okay.
All right. So that does it for us this week. Until next time.
Bye.
Adios.